Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Hanlon, Ryan Elke in the Motor City Studio joining us on the horn right now. I guess I should introduce myself if you don't know. Anthony Bellino coming to you from the Radio Bunker. I don't remember the last time I forgot to do that, but whatever. Joining us on the horn right now, he is an assistant coach for Ohio University in the Bobcats men's basketball program. Joins us every Tuesday, did his GA years under John Beilein there at the University of Michigan. Our good friend, Coach Kyle Barlow. Coach Barlow, first and foremost, thank you for taking the time. Your team is finally back in action after a little bit of a COVID pause. So that's exciting for your squad. Wish you all the best as you guys take on, Akron tonight?
Akron, yeah, Akron. And appreciate it, man. We're playing in the afternoon. And, you know, you really sounded like one of my favorite comedians, Ron White, with that little bit. You forgot to introduce yourself. Never forget. Happened to me. It was in his famous tater salad monologue. Where
are you Ron Tater Salad White?
Exactly. He's like, I got thrown out of the club, but I went back, or I put my hat back on. You know, you ever forget? Happened to me. I say that all the time, and that was funny, man. You ever forget to introduce yourself? Happened to me.
You guys got any coupons?
Yeah.
He's hilarious. Ron White is, Ron White's up there. He old school kind of guy. George Carlin's pretty foul. My favorite, though, is Bill Burr. Bill Burr, to me.
Oh, Bill Burr's awesome.
That guy is, and we all have something in common, the three of us, me, you, and Bill Burr, but that's neither here nor there. But Bill Burr, it's not just the fact that we're funny and dashingly good looking either, but he is hilarious. So I'm glad you got that inside joke there, my friend. Hey, how about the shooty hoops?
The sausage king of Chicago, dashingly handsome. Anytime someone says dashingly, I know we're going off on tangents again, but anytime someone says dashingly, I think of that Ferris Bueller skit. You know what I'm talking about?
Like,
they're in lunch and she's like, wearing a leopard skin vest, dashingly handsome. Mm. Yeah, Abe Froman, the sausage king of Chicago. Yeah.
You said Chicago. Now I don't know why John Candy and Sheboygan popped into my mind, but
Home Alone.
Yeah, now
Home Alone.
We're
jumping all sorts of movies.
Now all I can picture is them in the U-Haul. Oh my goodness!
The Kenosha Kickers.
Kickers. That's right.
Well, all right. We've covered about five movies on this entertainment weekly show that you got going. Let's call it a day. All right, good to talk to you, brother. We'll see you later.
Hey man, a lot of fun. Here they go, studio audience. They're involved too. Why not just send them off? No, but seriously, I mean, you know, sometimes damned if you do, damned if you don't. Doesn't matter what you're talking about. It could be a team that had, you know, mild expectations going into the season, that could be ranked the third best team in the entire country, that it has one loss and just won against a road game against another top five team. We could, on the other hand, have a team that's fighting for its tournament life that will take place a little bit later on this afternoon, and our friends a little bit west in East Lansing as they'll host the Illinois Fighting Illini, and I think all Wolverines tonight. I don't know about all of them. Some people just have some hate in their heart, but I'll be cheering for Sparty to knock out Iudasunmu and Kofi Coburn later on this evening on FS1 at 7 o'clock. Some people don't want to talk about that.
Bellino.
Who cares? Yeah.
I would rather see Spencer Torkelson hit batting practice bombs. Wouldn't you? I mean, let's just put that on Fox Sports 1. Let's upgrade that from Fox Sports Detroit. Let's just upgrade that to FS1. Let's put Spencer Torkelson backfield, not even on the main one, batting practice. Let's put that on there. We'll all get excited in Detroit. April and the D coming up. Hasn't been the same since 2010. Let's put it on, baby. Come on now. Who cares about the basketball?
Unbelievable. I assume that you saw my tweet from yesterday. Someone actually texted into the show and said that you could tell the state of sports in Michigan is sad when 80% of the conversation is about college basketball. I'd rather watch a 9-inning spring training game. I thought to myself, as much as I want to watch, you know, Miggy do some, you know, plyometrics and calisthenics and whatnot, one, the overall impact of a single baseball game, it's meaningless. I mean, you can make up, a week of games can get you from, you know, worst to first pretty quick. You know, it's I always compare it to football. You know, you need 10 wins in a row to equate to one football win, just purely based on the size of the schedule. The fact to me 100%. That this is the day after you have Michigan State playing Saturday on the road, needing one bat against the Hoosiers, finally finding a lineup that works. Sunday, you get Michigan traveling to Columbus. The first time ever these two programs were ranked top five in the AP Top 25 on the college basketball side of things. And the next day, of course, we're going to talk about that. We talked to Matt Shepard. We talked a little baseball. We talked a little golf. We had Spike Albrecht on. We tried to, you know, cover the bases. We dabbled, you mentioned the Red Wings, but they're no good. So whatever. Like, how could we not focus on the two teams that are priority number one? They are paramount right now. And one of them is the most important team in the state, hands down.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you look at the Big Ten footprint. Michigan State's always big on the footprint because they run a fine program up there in East Lansing. And, you know, one down year, I don't want to hear it. I agree with you, coaches. You said it best, man. Am I worried about the culture here? No, we established a culture. You know what a culture is? It's 20 years. It's not 1 year. And you know what? A scholarship is a two-way street. You said it best, man. What did you think about that comment, first of all?
I wanted to get to that yesterday. We never had an opportunity, but what a quote of all quotes. A scholarship is a two-way street. Some guys are going to have to prove
absolutely,
it. I mean,
man. Hey,
everybody's on notice right now, folks. We gave you that letter, and I know you had it picked down to your top 74 schools, and you had the cool graphic that your buddy put together in his basement on Twitter. I can't wait. My release
hashtag
of my top
Athens graphic.
Oh, my good. I can't take it. I hate recruiting. This is why I hate it. But, you know, everybody's got a top 30. Thanks for listing every Power 5 school in the country and telling us how great you are. But guess what, kid? Now you got to go there and you got to prove it. That's only half the battle. So I appreciate your signing day. I love you for it and celebrate it, but do it in a way that, I mean, come on, kid.
Can I go off on a tangent for just a second? We'll get back to the point.
Yes.
I once had a kid that I was recruiting, and I thought we had a chance. I won't say where I was because we're not really supposed to talk about recruiting. So if I don't narrow it down, I don't think it's a violation. But, you know, he released his top 20. And it's all these graphics of schools, you know, and around him playing with the basketball. And we weren't in it. And I thought we were in great standing, great conversations with the staff, great conversations with the head coach, great conversations, everybody around him, every coach, I love your school, blah, blah, blah. We weren't even in the top 20. So he posted on Twitter. I liked it. And then, you know, I get a text right away. Hey, coach, sorry. That was my buddy who put this together. I know you guys were not there, blah, blah. I said, oh, no, man, it's cool, man. You know, you can only pick one school. You knew that, right? You can have 100 offers. You can only pick one school. So I digress. You know, you have – I love the comments by Coach Izzo. I think that is a great thing. You know, scholarship is a two-way street. You know, there's nothing free in this world, boy, especially not even arrest warrants. Name that movie if you have a chance. And it's true, man. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Like, you know, you got to uphold your end of the bargain. You know, when you sign those papers, you're signing for free education, which we can debate till we're blue in the face, and people have for the last few years about what a college education is worth and should athletes be paid. But at the end of the day, it's you got to uphold your end of the bargain. It's a legal contract.
I could not agree more, and I'm just glad that Tom Izzo said it. He said it to Brendan Quinn, quote, guys are up for an audition right now. You've got to see progress or there's going to be changes. That's the way it is in the world. A scholarship is a two-way street. We have an obligation to you. You have an obligation to us. Oh!
Boom!
Oh!
Boom!
Wow! I mean, and look, the Spartans.
Wonderful university.
The Spartans, they get, I mean, hey, come on, they got Indiana, they get number who they already beat on the road, number 5, Illinois, number 4, Ohio State, number 3, Michigan, all remaining on their schedule, and that's, you know, to be determined. If I don't think they're going to add anything else.
What would you rather do, play that schedule or pitch against Murderers Row for the Yankees? Who was it? Babe Ruth? Who was Murderers Row? I forget. Was it Lou Gehrig? Was it? What would you rather do, play that schedule or Murderers Row?
Well, considering Murderers Row, half of them, you know, were like, you know, roofers and, you know, pipe fitters. I'll take Murderers Row. That's going to be way easier. Way easier, and it's not even close. You know, that was all pre-Jackie Robinson, too, so throw all those records out. You didn't even let some of the best players play because of their skin color. But I digress. Neither here nor there. There's some baseball slander for the traditionalists out there. Like, come on, the Murderers Row. You see Babe Ruth? That dude looked like he's in shape. Guys, you know, smoking darts and pounding pints. But come on, get out of here.
Oh, you want to go there. Did you see the Twitter thing where they had the two, they had basically, it was probably like Ricky Fowler. And
with the banana. Yep.
With the bananas. And then they showed like Ben Hogan and whoever it was.
Arnold Palmer, like smoking darts.
Oh, yeah. Just smoking darts. Oh, how times have changed.
I mean, yeah, like back in the day, it's like, oh, yeah, no, these guys are great. They're playing really well. These guys are, like, you know, doing crunches and push-ups and sit-ups, lifting weights, plyometrics, stretching, you know, they got yoga and all this other stuff. Guys back in the day are like, yeah, I'm going to hit this 9-iron 150 yards, and the rough is trash, the greens are awful, and everybody's, out, you know, John Daly. I mean, what an athlete, yeah. Right?
Hey, by the way, does anybody in the gallery have a Virginia Slim? Can I bum a cig in between this nice fan shot I'm about to hit?
I'm stressed out. I love the fact you could still do it too. So if guys are out there and they're getting, you know, they're a little stressed out, like, can you imagine if Tiger Woods would have fired up a square mid round? Like, oh, think about the children. Oh, can you imagine?
What would it be? What would it be? A pack of, like, are we talking like marble or reds? Are we talking something exotic for Tiger Woods? Like the terrorists and Die Hard, you know how they had exotic smokes. Like, what are we talking? What do you think he would light up? He's from Southern Cal.
Ooh, Southern Cal. He's wealthy. I don't know. I it's probably like the finest Turkish tobacco you could find. Maybe like Camel Lights. Maybe a pack of Pall Malls.
Maybe some Pall Malls. Just like Jason Aldean, you know, or is that Luke Bryan? Might have been Luke Bryan. But you know, did you see that playoff hole, by the way?
I did not. I missed it. I was working, man. I had a 2 o'clock tip off. I'm trying to watch the men's game. I'm calling a game at the same time.
Working on the weekend, like usual.
Oh, God, if I ever have to hear that song again.
So, I think one of the most talented golfers, who I still don't think is one on tour, by the way, Tony Finau. I think that dude has uber talent, you know, can hang with any of the most talented guys there is, but for some reason, and Max Homa's right up there too, who actually ended up winning the event. It was Tiger's event, the Genesis Invitational, which I did not know that was even Tiger's event. So anyways, they go, you know, Max Homa, could birdie to win. He's tied going into 18, battles his way back. He sticks it to about 5 feet on 18, just hits a dart, man. And this dude lips out halfway down putt. We've all been there. So he has to go to a playoff hole. First playoff hole, Tony Finau. Tony Finau stripes a 3-wood on number 10, par 4, to about, it's a little bump and run up and down. Like, it's about 315 par 4. So they both take 3-wood. Finau hits it right in good position, right on the collar, on the fringe of the fairway. And then Homa hits it behind a tree. Literal lie behind the tree. Did you see this shot on Twitter?
I did not see this shot on Twitter.
Oh, you got to look it up, man. He hits it, literally has no shot. This dude hoods, I think probably like a 7-iron, skips it to the front of the green, gets a generous roll. Now he's putting for birdie as well. They both end up getting up and down, 2-putt for par. Homa ends up taking it after Finau hits in the water. But just an unbelievable, it looked like the lie that you're just like, I'm done. There's no way I can physically make the shot. I got to play for something else right now. And it was amazing. Great drama. Great golf. We started talking about college basketball, scholarship, two-way street. Somehow we end up on Max Homa. This is what we do on this show, man. I love it.
I love it, too. Two wins, by the way, for Tony Finau, and 173 career starts. So two victories for Mr. Finau. That's it. And a solid $22 million. Like, that's pretty cool. I'm down with that.
We'll take that.
Yeah,
we'll
why not? I was just such in shock when I saw that text, and it kind of sent me off the rails a little bit, because I just couldn't believe it. And it's a part of me is like, is somebody trying to trigger me, or is this a case of somebody just wants to be miserable? Like there's nothing. Like, yeah. The Red Wings aren't good. The Tigers aren't good. The Pistons aren't good. The Lions are in a full blown rebuild at this point. Like, you have one team that's worth a damn, and you're telling me you're not watching 40 great minutes of basketball? Like, how good was that game on Sunday? Game of the year in the regular season.
Oh, absolutely. One of the better games I've ever seen. And, you know, from down to the, I thought the officiating was awesome. They let them play. They called the plays they had to call, or they called the fouls they had to call, which is anything you want from an official. And it's like, at the end of the day, man, like, let those kids play, which I think they did a great job of. And the pace of the game was phenomenal. You had dunks, you had physical play from a lot of guys, including Hunter Dickinson, who might be the most physical of the physical. And it's anything you could ask for in a regular season game. And let me ask you this too, Bellino, because down to the announcers, it was one of the best games of college basketball.
Oh, Kevin Harlan. Who doesn't love him?
Is there anything better than Kevin Harlan, man? Is there anything better? In this day and age, is there any better right now?
No, I honestly, you know, a lot of guys get a lot
any
of love.
Sport. Any sport.
He does it all. He can do it all. Yeah. His enthusiasm, his calls on the NBA, like if you watch the NBA on TNT and Harlan has the call.
Oh,
you got to.
Yeah, Harlan and Reggie Miller, man.
They're fantastic. But listen to the way he does live reads. Like he did a Burger King live read one time about the flame grilled Whopper. Dude, I have it on Twitter.
You sprinted to your car. You wanted to go get a flame broiled Whopper, didn't you, after that?
I literally rewound it, recorded it, and tweeted about it because I'm like, this dude is given a copy that, hell, flame grilled Whopper, hearty har har. And no, this guy looks at it and says, you know what? I'm going to have fun with this. And the broadcast is fun and it's knowledgeable. And his voice, everything about him. I honestly think he's the best play-by-play broadcaster alive right now. I don't think
it might be of all time.
Probably.
And I know we're not old timers because you're going to get the Vin Scullys, you're going to get the Harry Carries, whoever. I get it. But right now, you and I are around the same age. He's the best we've ever seen, and it's not even close. Like when you get known for a black cat on Monday Night Football when you're doing Westwood One, when you get known for a drunk fan, did you hear his call, by the way, on Westwood One radio? About the streaker in the Super Bowl. Did you hear that?
He took his bra off or something. Hilarious.
Oh, get your pants back on, man. What are you doing? Oh, he's to the 10. He's to the 15. He's to the 10. Put your pants on, man. Put a shirt on. He's got a bra.
He might be the only play-by-play broadcaster that's ever called two games at the same time. A couple years ago, the Patriots, the Dolphins, the Bills, and somebody else were all playing. And he was giving the play-by-play of the game that he was at. And then also updating the fans on what was going on in the other game because it had playoff implications.
Was that a Lions game? Because they switched the broadcast for context. He was on the game that they switched the broadcast to, but there was a huge drive at the end of it. I think it was Miami Dolphins. You're right. Huge drive at the end of the game, and that viewers who might have been in that market got switched that game or had money on the game. They might have switched over. They might have got switched over beyond their choice, not by choice. And he did the play-by-play of that game while the other broadcast was going on for the people who got switched over, not by choice. It was incredible. I remember that, bro.
Yeah, it was Chiefs and Chargers and then the Dolphins and the Patriots. They were going out at the same time. I just looked it up real quick. I mean, it's legendary. Like Kevin Harlan is the GOAT. Tom Izzo with a great quote. A lot of movies. Yeah. Don't smoke cigarettes. And instead, GOATs quotes and bananas. Don't smoke cigarettes.
And can I give you one more? I know you're going to kick me out. I got to give you one more. The whole reason I brought up Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
Did you hear his call when after Shaundy Brown, Hunter Dickinson were going mayhem on the offensive boards?
I couldn't hear it. I was working. I was watching the game on a monitor.
Felino, there was four Ohio State guys on the ground and Hunter Dickinson. He just got fouled.
That's
line.
When he fell and hit them all like bowling pins.
Yeah. He said, look at the guy. Sound like bowling pins for Ohio State. I was losing it, man. It was fantastic. I know you're kicking me off. It was great.
You're great. In case nobody tells you that today, I just want to let you know we appreciate you. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Have a good one.